This is the Hip Hop African Podcast, a show where we have in-depth conversations about African hip-hop culture and artists. Your host is Msia Kibona Clark, a professor in the Department of African Studies at Howard University. For more information or to contact us, please visit us at hiphopafrican.com.
Do you realize they want us to be unemotional beings to distract us from the distortion and the trauma we see? Yeah. Sweeping under your car, but leave your crib dirty. A spiritual cleanse will show my maker that I'm still worthy. Dreams of golden cubes and blue wings, I'm flying. Niggas are playing itself, thinking they sky as I am. Devouring everything in my path like 100 lions. Made a light through my soul, shine brighter than a billion suns. I guess I popped off, legendary. King of the sky, king of my mind, that's a sanctuary.
Hi, welcome back to the Hip Hop African Podcast. That was Magic from South African hip hop artist Shane Eagle's new album, Akira. I'm recording live from Dakar, Senegal. I am here for the conference of the Council for the Development of Social Science Research in Africa, otherwise known as CODESRIA, otherwise known as the largest African Studies Association in Africa, one of the largest in the world. They hold their big General Assembly every 3 years, typically in Dakar, Senegal. It's a great organization. If you're interested at all in African studies research, definitely check them out. The conference is running from December 4th through the 8th, and they're also live streaming it on their YouTube channel, so you can find out quite a bit there. We'll also have a link. So while I'm here, I'm really excited. I'm going to be getting a chance to talk to some folks who are here. One of my favorite people, Toni Blackman, who is also a graduate of Howard University, and she's probably one of the few people I know who can really have a great conversation about not only hip-hop in the U.S., but hip-hop throughout the continent. So Toni knows hip-hop in South Africa, she knows hip-hop in Senegal, she knows hip-hop in Kenya, and she's an artist herself. So we're going to finally have a conversation. I've been wanting to sit down with Toni for a while, and we're both in Senegal, so I figured this is a great opportunity. And we're going to have some other interviews, which I do not want to jinx and announce right now. But look forward to seeing some and hearing some more interviews. Now, next week, we are headed to the UK for a few days. We're going to be hanging out in London with some folks there, also doing some interviews. And so I'll talk more about that on the next episode. So this episode, we have a lot of news, a lot of new music, and then after the news and updates portion, it will be followed by an interview with the founder and owner of Rap Joint Lagos. If you remember in previous episodes, I've talked about Rap Joint Lagos, which is a hip-hop themed restaurant, bookstore. They have a listening lounge in Lagos, Nigeria. We'll be talking to the founder and owner of Rap Joint Lagos, Mr. Akinwale Irokosu. So that's coming up right after the news and updates. First up, Apple Music is continuing its celebration of the 50th anniversary of hip-hop with the release of Hip-Hop DNA. It's a series that's going to be focused on, it is focused on South Africa. The Hip-Hop DNA series focuses on showcasing the diversity of hip-hop sounds and histories and communities from around the world. And so this particular episode is going to be focused on South Africa and looking at the country's hip hop scene. Of course, we know South Africa has one of the oldest hip hop scenes outside of the United States, one of the old, definitely in Africa. So the episode is going to spotlight the country's hip hop scene, look at the roots of hip hop in South Africa, as well as the early days in the 1980s and 90s, when groups like Prophets of the City and Black Noise gained prominence. Those were two of the first hip hop groups in South Africa. And it also kind of talks about, the episode also talks about Squatter Camp, Tear Gas, or groups that achieved radio success in the 2000s and the early 2010s. Also in the episode, they're going to be talking about more recent hip hop artists like the late AKA, as well as Casper Nyovest, and the new generation of what some are calling quasi trap rappers, such as Bravo LaRue. So that's coming up on Apple Music. Also out of South Africa, the South African public television network SABC released a series of documentaries that celebrated hip-hop's 50th anniversary and hip-hop's 40th anniversary in South Africa. So the documentaries were shown on TV in South Africa between November 12th and November 26th. And they had a special broadcast of this year's Back to the City Music Festival. So the documentaries focus on several topics, including women and hip-hop in South Africa, as well as some of the music festivals that have happened in South Africa, as well as the tie between hip-hop and social commentary and social change in South Africa. Kendrick Lamar has teamed up with the philanthropic organization Global Citizen in an effort to establish a music touring circuit across Africa. A kickoff event for the Move Africa Tour will take place in Kigali, Rwanda, at the BK Arena on December 6th. So that's actually tomorrow. I'm recording this on December 5th. And Lamar is going to be the headliner alongside other artists from Tanzania and Rwanda. Kendrick Lamar is also working with his creative partner, Dave Free, and his company, PG Lang, on the tour, which has agreed to curate annual shows across Africa for the next 5 years as part of the initiative. Global Citizen focuses on eradicating poverty, so the Move Africa project comes with a focus on job creation and attracting some of the greatest artists on the continent. So it's really going to be interesting. So I know recently Kendrick Lamar was in Accra, Ghana, and actually released a video of him hanging out with some young folks in the Jamestown, I believe the Jamestown area of Accra. So very interesting. I'm really curious to see how this project Move Africa is going to take shape and, you know, what's going to happen, who's involved and all that stuff. It's just always an interesting thing when people take up initiatives on the continent. So I'm very interested in seeing what Kendrick does. Also, South African rapper, back to South Africa, Blackie has announced that he has signed with the international hip-hop label Def Jam Recordings. Along with the announcement, he released his first single under the label entitled Back Into It, with the music video that was directed by Shayla the Unicorn. So the rapper, songwriter, and producer who was from Durban really has gained a lot of popularity over the years and kind of has become a big name in South Africa's hip hop scene. Now, he dropped his debut studio album, Before Now, back in May 2021, and it went gold in South Africa. So his latest signing of Def Jam or with Def Jam is, you know, really seen as a testament to the work he's been doing over the years. And, you know, this is something that, of course, he's worked hard for. Now, we know that Def Jam is a U.S.-based label, but it's been around for a while and it's definitely been associated with hip hop. So some of the early artists that were affiliated with Def Jam include Public Enemy, Jay-Z, LL Cool J, Run DMC, of course. And so Def Jam and hip hop are, you know, have a really long history. The label also recently launched an Africa division in 2020. It operates in South Africa as well as Nigeria. And so other rappers on that label include South African rapper Nasty C, who signed with Def Jam back in 2020, right after they launched their Africa division. Over in Uganda, Tusker Malt Conversations is releasing a discussion with Tom Mayanja, the Ugandan hip-hop artist known as The Myth. So The Myth was a founding member of the Ugandan rap group Clear Cut, which gained a lot of popularity in the early 2000s. So The Myth transitioned into a solo artist and really has established himself as a figure in Uganda's hip-hop scene. So the Tusker Malt Conversations will offer a behind-the-scenes look at the artist and focus on his personal experiences and, you know, especially those experiences that have shaped his career over the past two decades. So the episode with The Myth actually premiered on December 3rd, Sunday, December 3rd, and it is also being streamed on Tusker Malt and Swangs Avenue YouTube pages. We'll have a link to it. The Tusker Malt conversations were created by the Ugandan record label Swangs Avenue, really to bring together some of the country's greatest talent to perform and talk about life in the industry. So the last announcement is coming actually from Spain. And so Rap Africa magazine recently did an interview with yours truly about hip hop in Africa. So I did the interview with Tania Adam and it's in Spanish. So just, you know, FYI, but it was a really good conversation around the development of hip hop in Africa. So we'll have a link to that as well. Some other events that have happened already. Ghana hosted the 11th edition of the Ghana DJ Awards. It's an event that recognizes the achievements of Ghanaian and other international DJs, as well as musicians and other industry stakeholders. The event took place on November 25th at the Grand Arena in Accra. There were nominees for several categories, including Discovery of the Year and Scratch DJ of the Year. So nominees for the International DJ of the Year Award included DJs from South Africa and Nigeria, as well as Ghana, of course. So the biggest award, the DJ of the Year Award, went to Ghanaian DJ, DJ Lord OTB. Also happening in Senegal, this took place November 6th through the 19th, was the third edition of the Kerr Massar Hip Hop Festival. The event featured dance, theater, slam performances, and other events. And there were also workshops that were held during the festival, around the festival, that were aimed at developing the capacities of young people in the areas of dance, DJing, graffiti, photography, etc. On the last day of the festival, November 19th, there was a panel discussion held on the topic of hip hop as a vector of artistic activism and social commitment in communities. The discussion featured Chat from Kyrgyz, who we've interviewed on the show, as well as Malal Almami Tala. Both Kyrgyz and Malal are rappers and founding members of Senegal's Yenamar movement, as well as Matador, another hip-hop artist whose work has combined rap and slam. So the three artists engaged in an intergenerational dialogue, taking stock of social activism over the past decades in Senegal. As we know, the Senegalese hip-hop scene has a history of political engagement, especially through the Yenamar movement, which was instrumental in political change. So over in Uganda, in late October, Skills East Africa helped organize an event in Alliance Francaise that celebrated the 50th anniversary of hip-hop. There were freestyle battles, dance exhibitions, and other performances. There were dancers that were there from, of course, Uganda, as well as Kenya and the Democratic Republic of the Congo. Now, looking at upcoming events, events you are not too late to attend and be a part of. In Ghana, as many of you may or may not know, December is a huge month for Ghana. I mean, you have not only a lot of people returning home, several events, concerts. So it's really considered a really festive time of the year. So this year, the organizers of the Afro Future Festival, which used to be known as Afrocella until the organizers were forced to change the name. So this year, the Afro Future Festival is going to be held in Ghana on December 28th and 29th. The festival is going to be headlined by British Gambian rapper Jay Huss and Ghanaian rapper Black Sharif. The event is aimed at celebrating Africa's diverse culture and the work of entrepreneurs and creatives. It will take place at the Elwak Sports Stadium, like I said, on December 28th and 29th. The theme for this year's festival is Black Unification and Pan-Africanism. Very interesting. Curious about how they're going to represent that theme. So the idea is to honor the achievements of Black people throughout the continent and diaspora and to highlight their contributions to art, innovation, and culture. Before the festival, Afrofuture will also host a series of events, including a two-week expo of screenings, panel discussions, sessions on wellness, and other activities. There will also be a Rising Star Challenge for newer artists looking for an opportunity to perform at this year's festival and share their music with a wider audience. You can apply for an opportunity to participate in the Afrofuture Festival. We're going to have a link to the website where you can look into information on performing as well as purchasing tickets for the event. On December 17th in Accra, Ghana, the hip-hop artist Manifest is going to be holding his, I believe, second annual Manifestivities in Accra. It's going to be hosted at Untamed Empire. And there's several artists that have already confirmed. Of course, Manifest will be there. Ladipo, Asaka Boys, and A. Reese are three of the artists that are scheduled to perform at Manifestivities on December 17th. In Cape Town on December 7th, Reebok is hosting a celebration of hip-hop's 50th in Cape Town. The celebration is called Back Like We Never Left, and it's going to be held at Cape Town's Alley. The event will feature performances by the legendary DJ Reddy D, as well as Youngster CPT, Nadia Nakai, Blackie, Rari, Uncle Party Time, and Bravo LaRue, as well as a performance by the Beat Bangers. Beat Bangers actually is a collective of DJs. So in Beat Bangers, you have DJ Reddy D, DJ E20, and DJ Azul, who we have had on the show. We did an interview with him when I was actually in Cape Town about a year or so ago. Days and years are sometimes run together, but we did an interview with DJ Azul, who was also part of Beat Bangers. And Beat Bangers, they have an internet radio station, and episodes from the Hip Hop African podcast have streamed on their radio station. So we're, you know, very, very happy to hear their participation in this event. You know, we're definitely friends of that collective, that DJ collective, that does a lot of really, really good work in Cape Town. Also coming up is the B Global Indigenous Hip Hop Summit in Uganda. Last episode, I believe, Babaluku, who was one of the organizers, founders and organizers of the summit, talked a little bit about the upcoming summit. I don't know if we had the dates then, but the dates are December 20th to the 23rd, and they will be celebrating hip hop's 50th anniversary. And the gathering is, you know, a series of workshops and events that feature local and international artists. I think I've mentioned before that I went to the summit in 2014. And it was really great. Lots of, you know, met lots of people, a lot of artists, a lot of creativity happening. If you're an artist yourself, it's definitely a great space to be in and, you know, to get a little bit of exposure to what's going on the east side of Africa, on the East Coast. So lastly, before we get into the interview, we have quite a few, actually, new music announcements. One of the things that I realized in listening to some of this new music is there are some artists that are straight hip hop, straight MCs, and then there are others who do blend quite a bit. So it's definitely been interesting listening to some of these artists, because you have some that, again, will have Afro beats or I'm a piano music on their album. So the majority of the music actually is coming out of South Africa and Nigeria, but we have some artists out of Ghana as well as Kenya to talk about. So in November, we had Breeder LW, who released the album Midas Touch. So Breeder LW is from Kenya. Because I grew up as the bad one, misfit. Now she life killer chapters, is skip shit. So now I drew Indian Danny, now simply. All I know is success is addictive. Now it's Arusha ice, than a glass of whiskey. It's my life, so nafanya blena hisi. We had British Ghanaian artist Yuji, who released the album The Prodigal Son. Yeah, I got trust in the Almighty, so I stay composed and listen. I did a U-turn on the whole lifestyle, now everyone thinks I'm missing. Gotta spend time with the family, I gotta spend time with my loved ones. We also had British Nigerian artist Fresh L, who released the EP Lifestyle. Ghanaian artist Kojo Q released the EP I'm Back.
Never brotherly. If he's getting cakey that I bake, or may order be your talk to talk. I'm about to walk, my ass about them knee. When I open shop and get the call, then it's confirmed G, my suffer B. Charlie Auntie Chloe off her property. Macro on the low, Linko Joe, Nina suffer knee. Glass doors.
Also, South African artist released, South African artist Chain Eagle, who's actually been around for a while, released the album Akira.
And kick it right here where I reside. Cause some days I feel like I conquer the world, and other days I feel like maybe we some crabs in a barrel. But it's the eagle of gold. I got some wings of my own. I still float like a butterfly when tides rise. And when the world feels cold.
In December, thus far, I mean, this is, like I said, the 5th of December, so we only have a couple albums, but we have one by South African hip-hop artist Saudi, who released the album Msotra Don't Lie. We also have Nigerian artist Odomu Black, who released the album Ezioku.
But they think I'm cool. Who's in good? Anything I do, they go like go run and pee. 2x2, come with pancake, flog these fools. Odomu Black, I go plug bamboo.
So those are the music releases, along with some samples of some of those songs, some of those albums. We will, as always, have links to those albums, as well as many of the events and news stories we talked about. All right, so now I am going to hand it over to myself and an earlier interview I did with the founder of Rap Joint Lingos. Could you start off by like just introducing yourself and a little bit about the history of Rap Joint Lingos?
I'm Wande Irokosu, co-founder, creative director for Rap Joint Lingos. I'm a trained lawyer, a hip-hop head, or hip-hop obsessed person, you know. And I love rap music, but I'm more about the culture than even rap. Mm-hmm. You know, the realness, the aspirational philosophy, and other things that I think I've added a lot of value to my life. So, I mean, Rap Joint Lingos is a hip-hop and Lingos cultural center. And what we'll do is promote hip-hop culture and the history and culture of Lagos, the city where our jail is located. So anything that has to do with hip-hop music, hip-hop history, hip-hop books, unpacking hip-hop albums, classic hip-hop albums with listening parties and discussions. We have a bookstore that currently stores part of the largest titles on hip-hop that you find in most bookstores. Also our restaurant, that is a hip-hop themed restaurant. We have a listening lounge where you have an exceptional listening experience in terms of like being in a studio. Growing up, I used to buy the Source magazine. I used to buy it obsessively every month. And growing up, I just couldn't find bookstores that could address my interest. So the idea was start a bookstore. The initial idea was a bookstore that sells predominantly hip-hop books, which also is promoting hip-hop culture. So the spaces align us to win back people that grew up on hip-hop. So me and two or three of my friends were calling ourselves internally displaced rap heads.
Okay.
So we sort of needed a safe space to really enjoy the music the way we would love to. And also, hip-hop is a bit complex. It's not as simple as it looks. And it would be nice to unpack the twists and turns, the complexity with people. So that was the initial push was the lack of enough books. Moving on to looking for a safe space, for lack of a better word. Then I spoke to someone that runs a bookstore and a record store in Lagos called Mr. Tejo. He runs Jazzo, and they focus a lot on jazz music. And I said something to me, he said, look, Wale, if you are really serious about this, you don't want to do that as a track. You need to study it very well. So I started studying it. So anytime I travel out of Nigeria, I'm always looking for bookstores and try to see the level of hip-hop book collections that they have. Start looking for hip-hop themed restaurants. You know, in London, I think I could find one in Brixton called Cheap Chop. You know, it's a restaurant. Their menu is sort of hip-hop themed. Then they have some graffitis and drawings on the wall of Biggie and the others. And that's all I could find. The listening club idea is actually very common in Japan. You know, just barely taking off in America. Ultimately, just coming off the domination of the music space by the digital medium, you know, streaming and everything, it sounded counterintuitive to open a bookstore, a record store, where people can order these things from the comfort of their own.
And without,
we need to be big on experience. Yes, you can order these books from the comfort of your own. We can listen to this music from the comfort of your own. But you are coming to the space for that really proper experience, you know. So that was the journey. Then COVID struck. And I was at home, like everybody. I was watching these verses. And there was this one between RZA and Primo, DJ Premier. And he had about 700 and something thousand people tuning. And it was a game changer for me because I felt if these guys can bring in 750,000 people, at least I should be able to bring in 100 people. You know, so there's definitely an interest in doing something like this online. So we sort of kicked off online. Did that Kickstarter, it was successful. The people that supported us, we gave them a face card, t-shirt. We asked them to record videos of their initial experience and recollection of hip hop. You know, even start talking about the first time they heard anything hip hop. I did a video as well. About 20 or 30 people did their own. It was fun. And then we just felt the natural progression is a physical space, you know, which was meant to open in September 2020. Ultimately, we didn't open until March 2022. Ultimately wanting to also be on a tourist destination. This is like if you go to any city in the world, you know, you find your community.
Yeah.
And opening will be the other people community. If you come to Lagos, the communities you have a base. We need to be able to narrate hip hop history, hip hop news from our standpoint.
Yeah.
You know, as long as we leave the narration Financial Times, the Times of London, New York Times, you can't complain about the way they present it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I own the medium and I tell the story the way I like.
Yeah.
You know, so that's basically, that's the history. Started out as a passion,
mm-hmm.
moved into a yawning gap, you know, for hip-hop related news and content, moving into my situation as an internally displaced rapper, we're going to find a space to enjoy the way I like.
You all had a recently, didn't you all have a listening party for Nas? Like Nas, I remember something. You all had a listening session, right?
Yes, we had a few. There was one on Illmatic.
Mm.
That doing, the most recent one was on the Lost Tapes, the first one. So what we do is, every month, we curate the classic albums that the anniversaries were coming up. Mm-hmm. And we have a listening event where the first thing we do is to take people back to the time and space, because you can't really divorce or extract a music from the time and place and the era that it was created. So we play live for 2 or 3 minutes. I just ask people, you know, where were you at this point? You know, what was the culture? What was the fashion? What was the music? Yeah. You know, what were you into? And people get very emotional sometimes, typically nostalgic, you know, then people start talking about fashion. And you start also realizing the impact of the album that you are going into in the culture of that era. You know, I remember listening to Chronic and Doggy Style by Snoop.
Uh-huh.
And my view of America at that point was that females were referred to in the derogatory way. I thought that was the norm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it took me a long while, you know, to get out of that.
Let me ask the question, because you mentioned hard rock. Is there, do you envision there being like Rap Joint Johannesburg, Rap Joint Nairobi? Do you envision perhaps having?
Yes, yeah, something like that, but it would be Rap Joint Lagos, Johannesburg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And the reason the part of our principle is to promote Lagos.
Mm,
okay. You know, and anywhere this goes, they need to know it was from Lagos.
Okay.
You know, I think quietly also, some of us are tired of importing brands and not exporting brands.
Yeah.
It's actually, we don't create anything. We should mainstream brands as well in the West, and it's possible.
I know there was all this kind of talk online about Burna Boy's comments about Afrobeats and, you know, its lack of kind of serious content. I heard that he started out in hip hop. Do you think that has influenced it?
I think there are two kinds of Afrobeats. There's the one with the S and the one without the S.
Uh-huh.
You know, mm-hmm. Yes. I think the one with the S is the one you have now.
Yeah.
I think the fella, anyway, the Afrobeat that fella originated has a lot of culture.
Yeah.
That's political activism and Pan-Africanism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that is why almost 30 years after, that culture still exists. There is a place called African Shrine.
Yeah.
What Fela used to do in his lifetime still continues. Afrobeat is young, is growing, is a mixture of hip hop, juju music, Fuji music. Afrobeat is a younger brother of hip hop, and the way hip hop was arguably a younger brother of Fela's Afrobeat.
Yeah.
Because if you read the history of hip hop, some of the records that the DJs were sampling or using includes Fela's music and Sonny Ade.
Yeah.
Most of these guys, being Burna Boy, being Wizkid, being Davido, if you check their history, at one point, they tried rapping. Now, if you strip down Afrobeat that Burna was referring to, is a mixture, a fusion of rap, Fuji music, juju music, and Fela's Afrobeat. So you cannot talk about Afrobeat without talking about hip hop.
Yeah.
Having said that, hip hop has a stronger culture. What saved hip hop or rap was the culture of graffiti, breakdancing, and DJing. Mm-hmm. If it was solely rap for that, you know, hip hop would have been dead.
Yeah.
So, yes, I would agree with Burna that hip hop has a stronger culture than Afrobeat. I would agree with Burna that I struggle to identify the cultural theme of Afrobeat beyond the feel-good dance. Do I have Afrobeat songs that are introspective, that make me think? Yes. So I don't agree with Burna that Afrobeat is senseless. We need to also concede that they are all Black music.
Yeah, yeah.
All this music sort of originated from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
We tied with it, we're grateful to America, US, New York for promoting it, for giving it a name. So that's my answer to Burna.
So let me ask, because I want to make sure that I get some of these questions. So I know recently everybody heard about the arrest of the guy who supposedly, allegedly murdered Tupac. And as someone who, I think we're kind of in the same era in terms of where we grew up in hip hop, you talk about where you were when you heard. And so, like, I think a lot of us remember the feeling of hearing about Tupac's death and how it, like, literally reverberated around the world. But I definitely think every African city I've been to, there's some kind of homage to Tupac somewhere. Barbershops, buses, like, I know the sides of buses in Nairobi, Tupac's image was always, was a consistent presence. And so I guess the question is, you know, are you surprised? Because I remember that's like one of the enduring questions. Who shot Tupac? Who shot? I mean, it was like this big. So I just wanted to get your perspective as someone who was definitely around and impacted by his death.
So I think first thing is, I mean, it was one of the biggest. Yeah. You know, you may not agree with what he was saying and what he was acting, but you know who he was, you know what he felt. He was himself. You know, and he was not also afraid to make mistakes. And it's amazing how many interviews that I watched where he owned up to a lot of things. Even the supposed rape charge against him, he felt that he didn't protect the ladies enough. He denied raping them or assaulting them, yeah. But he felt he could have protected them more. So it was real. It was a good soul. May soul rest in peace. I think the way I felt about the arrest, I felt that the system didn't care to find out about it because this guy was openly saying it.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
You know, the whole world knows about Baby Lane Orlando Anderson. You know, was he arrested? Was he investigated for it? How did the investigation, how did it end? I felt this guy caught himself into this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think the system really cared. Uh-huh. I think they were embarrassed into arresting him. Mm-hmm. They just had to. He had got into that level. I think the other thing that I can say that is quite striking is the level of anti-law enforcement culture in Ibo. Mm-hmm. It's like, Shugnai said, I witness it, but I'm not going to investigate.
Yeah,
I'm not going to discuss it. That guy wasn't involved, but I'm not talking to police.
Yeah. Before you go, I want to get your reaction to this Chuck D quote that I thought was, you know, interesting. But so Chuck D says, Africa is the future of hip hop. It's 54 African nations. Not only are they spitting like crazy, but they're also braiding languages. Hip hop is going to like 3.0 when you talk about Africa. Hip hop is there. So that's the sustaining power if you want to pay attention to it.
I agree with him. And I think things are coming full cycle. This sort of started somewhat from Africa in one way or the other. It was made famous by the Americans. Black Americans also have African origin.
Yeah.
You have people rapping in full native gear now. And the most popular subgenre of hip hop currently is a bilingual one.
Yeah.
People will call it Tibilera. The locals can relate to that more than they can relate. Like I often say to the local rappers, I said, look, you cannot help nigga them in New York. So quit trying.
Yeah.
Rap like in Nigeria.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hip hop is about realness.
Oh.
Before this, I'll love you, guys.
So as you may or may not have realized, the interview, so during the interview, both of us realized, you know, the interview was going quite long and we both had other engagements. And so we will hopefully get a chance to talk to Wale again and to kind of continue that conversation about some of his work with what they're doing with Rap Joint Lagos. But thank you for joining us for this episode for another series of news and updates, as well as this special interview and conversation we had. As always, if you've got news stories, things that, you know, you want to announce, please send them to us at feedback@hiphopafrican.com.
All right, peace.
Got many tunes that's off auto. I'm not a robo, I'm unprogrammable. The wrong steps I chose granted me future and the credit to rectify and amplify the power that comes with it. Rectify and amplify the blessings that come with it.